You're listening to Qalam Institute's podcast. Visit us on the web at qalaminstitute.org and join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayah number 159 says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, basically, to just briefly translate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It was only due to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you were soft and gentle with them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ. But if you had been harsh, if you would have spoken harshly, or if you would have been hard-hearted towards them, لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They would have dispersed, they would have abandoned you. They would have dispersed from around you. فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ. So forgive them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And seek Allah's forgiveness for them. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And include them in consultation regarding different affairs and different issues. Basically, consult with them. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Once you have made up your mind, once you have come to a decision, a firm conclusion and decision, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Then put your trust and your reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the people who put their trust in Allah. So this is a brief translation of this ayah. Now this ayah follows after the ayat that are speaking and addressing the issue of the Battle of Uhud. And I don't want to get too much into the historical context and the discussion of it, because that's a whole other lesson altogether. But I wanted to talk about something very specific and extract a particular thought and an idea from this ayah. But to give a brief idea of what this ayah is talking about, because it's going to contribute to the lesson that inshallah we'll be taking from here, is that this ayah follows the ayah talking about the Battle of Uhud. And during the Battle of Uhud, what the issue that it's addressing here is that at the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet ﷺ had given very specific, direct instructions to a group of Muslims, Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And that group of Muslims ended up disobeying the direct instruction and command of the Prophet ﷺ. They ended up abandoning the post that he had assigned them to and told them not to leave no matter what happens. Until I do myself do not inform you directly that now you can leave this post, you are not to leave. And they ended up leaving and abandoning the post once they assumed that the battle had been over, or at least most of them did. And this led to a great loss to the Muslims, and this opened up a very strategic attack point for the other side, for the mushrikeen of Mecca. And the Muslims ended up suffering a lot of loss of lives and a lot of injuries they sustained due to this situation and this incident that occurred. So this ayah follows after that, because once this had occurred, the Prophet ﷺ's demeanor in dealing with these people who had disobeyed him was not very, very harsh. He wasn't harsh on them. He didn't come down on them with severe punishments or anything. He treated them very, very gently, very kindly. He was very forgiving. He was very generous. He was very benevolent in his dealing with them. And he was very generous in his dealing with them. And he forgave them. He did not hold a grudge against them. And in fact, he prayed that Allah forgives them as well. And he continued to keep them as contributing members of the Muslim community. So now going to exactly what the ayah is talking about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. The first thing I wanted to explain here is that Allah, the sequence of the words in the ayah, the grammar of the ayah, gives the meaning that it was only because of the mercy of Allah that you were soft and gentle with them. This teaches us two different lessons. The first lesson that it teaches us is that this softness, this kindness that the Prophet ﷺ displayed in dealing with these group of people who had actually disobeyed his commandments was not a sign of weakness of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet wasn't weak with them. He didn't forgive them because he couldn't punish them. You know, sometimes when you say, okay, that's fine, I'm going to let you go this time. And you tell the person back, you say, what could you do even if you wanted to? Like if somebody gives you a warning and says, don't do that next time. And you tell them, or what? What are you going to do about it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is informing us, it's not that the Prophet was weak or he did not have the capacity to hold these people accountable. The Prophet was firm when he needed to be. He had every resource, and he was completely capable of holding these people accountable. So, but he was merciful towards them, and this mercy was instilled within him from Allah. So by attributing the mercy to Allah, Allah is actually displaying that it's not that the Prophet was weak, that he could not hold these people accountable, but it was rather due to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other thing that this teaches us is that only because of the mercy of Allah were you soft with them. That means that they were not deserving of softness. They were not deserving of any special kindness. They had disobeyed a direct commandment. The books of Seerah, if you read it, the books of Hadith and Seerah, if you read it, the Prophet had given them very clear, distinct directions and instructions. He had told them very clearly what they were to do and not leave that post under any circumstances. But they directly disobeyed a very clear instruction from the Prophet ﷺ. So they were not deserving of any kindness or any gentleness from the Prophet ﷺ. But rather it was due to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were deserving of some type of rebuke or some type of punishment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to shower them with this mercy through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the first thing that we learn here. The second thing that we learn here is the word itself. Allah says, لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. You were soft, you were kind with them. This word layin, it comes from the word layin in the Arabic language, which is basically some imagery being used here. It literally means something that is soft, or something that is very comfortable, or something that is very soft, very easy. Something that is very soft and very convenient. That is layin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the conduct, the character, the disposition of the Prophet as being soft and gentle, and he's likening it to an example. There's some imagery here. That just like silk is soft, just like silk is soft, that's how soft and gentle and kind and easygoing the Prophet ﷺ was with the believers. But Allah says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضْلًا. But what's the other side? How else could a person have reacted? فَضْلًا, if he would have been فَضْ. The word فَضْ in the Arabic language means somebody who's very harsh in his speech. Somebody who's very harsh in his speech. This actually teaches us a lesson. I'll explain this in a minute, but it means somebody that is harsh in their speech, in their words. They use harsh tones, they use harsh language in dealing with people. غليظ القلب. And you would have been hard-hearted. Very harsh, your heart would have been towards them. This is describing a different characteristic. The word غليظ literally means something that is rough or abrasive in the Arabic language. Like if you touch something and it's very rough, like some type of thorns or a wall or gravel or something like that. It's very rough. That's ghaliz. So something that's rough or abrasive is called ghaliz in the Arabic language. Once again, you see the imagery here. The Prophet was very soft, like silk, soft, and this is describing somebody being very harsh or very abrasive. So it's two polar opposite qualities, characteristics, dispositions, demeanors. One being very harsh and one being very soft. So if you would have, Allah says, if you would have been harsh in your language, in your words, in your tone, and you would have been hard-hearted, لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They would have dispersed, they would have abandoned from around you. And this word infaddu literally means to break something. They would have broken off from you, never to be rejoined again. Because when you're harsh with someone, you're hard, extremely hard with someone, you're very rough with someone, many times you end up breaking a relation, you end up severing a relationship that can never be repaired completely. There's a couplet in the Arabic language, the Arab poet, he says, جَرَحَتُ السِّنَانِ لَهُ التِّيَامُ وَلَا يَلْتَامُ مَا جَرَحَ الْلِسَانُ. He says that the wounds that are inflicted by the teeth, if you bite someone and you cause them a wound, that will heal one day. But the wound that is inflicted by the tongue, it never heals. It never heals. So this is what Allah is speaking about here. that if you would have been harsh with them, you would have been hard with them at this very fragile moment, at this moment when they were very vulnerable. They realized they did something wrong. And now they're ashamed and they're confused and they're conflicted about what's going to happen with them. If you would have been extremely harsh with them, you might have just broken them permanently. They would have broken off from you. And they would have lost that connection, that relationship that they have with you, that love, that affection that they have for you, they would have lost it. So Allah says that what kept them close to you was your love and your compassion, even in those moments of difficulty, even when they're wrong, even when they're guilty. Those moments are sometimes the times when the people are the most vulnerable. They really need people to be kind and generous to them when they've actually messed up. Compassion is a very powerful tool to rehabilitate a person, to correct a person. Compassion is always a very, very powerful tool. So Allah says, لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They would have dispersed from around you. Now one thing I want to mention here is Allah mentions two qualities. Harsh in tone and being harsh-hearted itself. Being harsh in tone and being harsh internally in your heart. And Allah mentions both things. You know why? Because both of these things are reprehensible. Many times somebody speaks very harshly with other people. Many times you'll find someone, they have a very harsh tone. They have a very harsh manner of speaking. But they say, oh, it's nothing in my heart. I don't keep anything in my heart against someone. Allah is informing us here in this ayah that that is not a valid excuse. Just because you don't harbor animosity towards someone, it does not excuse you from being rough and abrasive with them. That is still wrong. You cannot speak to people that way. You can't talk to people that way. Let alone when you are in a position of authority. Especially when you are in a position of authority, we need to constantly be very, very careful about this. لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Then Allah says, فَعْفُوا عَنْهُمْ. So now what are you supposed to do with them? What are you supposed to do? فَعْفُوا عَنْهُمْ. Forgive them. Forgive them. Let it go. Don't hold them accountable for what they've done. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And seek forgiveness for them. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to also have mercy on them and also forgive them, so that they're not held accountable in the eyes of Allah. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And then include them in consultation. Consult with them about important issues, about different matters that need to be decided. This is actually a step-by-step process on how to deal with maybe some type of a difficulty or some situation that might have occurred within a group of people that work closely together. The first thing is, let it go. Don't hold them accountable for that. Meaning, what that means is don't punish them for that. Let it go. It's okay. Everyone makes mistakes. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And then ask Allah to forgive them. What this does is, this removes any ill feeling that you might have in your heart. When you pray for someone, when you make dua for someone, and they are not even present, in your own time, in your own privacy, you make dua to Allah to have mercy upon this person and forgive that person. That removes any ill feeling or any stains that might be on your heart towards that person. Any ill feelings that you might have towards that person get removed at that moment. And then consult with them. Now that you have removed any ill feeling you might have towards that person is still nervous that I think he might still be mad at me. You didn't punish the person. You said, okay, don't worry about it, it's alright. Everybody makes mistakes. No problem. Don't worry about it. But that person is still nervous when they come around you. They're ashamed to come face to face with you. So وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. The next time there's a decision to make, you have to decide something, something needs to get done, you actually talk to them, you say, excuse me, can I have a minute of your time? I need to take care of these things. What's your advice? What's your opinion on this matter? Now what that does is that's a gesture to this person. That shows this person that this person is no longer angry with me. This person doesn't have any ill feelings towards me. This person doesn't think any less of me because of what I might have done wrong. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Then when you come to a conclusion, a decision, put your trust in Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah loves the people who put their trust in Him. Well, the lesson I want to extract here from this ayah is, this is teaching us, I just don't want to use the word leadership, because sometimes we have a very specific idea in our head what leadership means. Leadership is actually much more broad than we consider it. The better word that I want to use is, this teaches us how we should behave when we are in a position of authority. When we are in a position of authority, whether it's within our own families, whether it's with our own children, whether it's with our at work, whether it's here in the masjid, or it's in some organization, or some other effort that we're doing, or in the extended family, whatever it might be. When a person has a position of authority, how should he deal with people? How should he interact with people? The Prophet ﷺ is in the position of authority. These people have disobeyed a direct command that's ended up in the result, that's resulted in the death, in the martyrdom, the death of dozens of Muslims. And dozens more have been injured because these people disobeyed him and he's the authority. How does he deal with them? He's soft, he's gentle, he's understanding. That's the first step. He's not harsh with them, not in tone, and same thing in his heart, he doesn't have any ill feelings towards them. Then he doesn't punish them. He asks Allah to forgive them. And then when the next situation comes around, he includes them in his consultation, in his close circle. He doesn't exclude them now. Oh no, these people, they're no use anymore. Don't you remember what they did last time? Don't you remember what he did last time I gave him a responsibility? The Prophet didn't say that. He still kept them close, still consulted with them. And this is how that community, that society, that group of the Sahaba remained connected and bonded and stayed very close to the Prophet ﷺ. This is, from the Qur'an, a lesson in how to have a position of authority and how to be a leader. And once again, I mentioned that this doesn't refer specifically only in specific terms of leadership. Any position of authority. Anytime you have a position of authority over other people, this is the way to behave, this is the way to conduct yourself, and this is how a community is built. This is how a solid unit is built. And the last thing that I wanted to mention here is, one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here at the end is the issue of consultation. Mashwara, shura. This is a very important teaching from our deen. And this is something very valuable that we should implement in our lives. This is, we see the presence of it in the Qur'an, and it had a very strong presence in the life of the Prophet ﷺ as well. The word mashwara itself, it means to make something apparent. Something that is hidden, or something that is not clear, to make it clear. And in some of the linguists even mention that the word extracted from the word for mashwara is also used to extract honey, is the same word used for extracting honey from the beehive. Because there is some element of danger there. And you have to be very cautious and very careful to pull out that which is pure and that which is beneficial. And that is what consultation is. That is what mashwara is. Because there's a lot of things that can go wrong when making a decision. But when you consult with other people and other believers, and you consult with them, and then you put your trust in Allah and you go forward, inshallah Allah will deliver to you that which is pure and that which will be beneficial to your situation. And the Prophet ﷺ was very particular about consulting with people. Hasan radiallahu anhu, the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ, he says, قَدْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ مَا بِهِ إِلَيْهِمْ حَاجَةً وَلَكِنَّهُ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَسْتَنَّ بِهِ مَنْ بَعْدَهُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that the Prophet ﷺ necessarily did not need to consult with people. The Prophet ﷺ was fully capable of making a decision. He didn't have to consult with people. He didn't need to consult with anyone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to do so, so that this would become a set practice, and this would become something that people would continue to do after him. The Prophet ﷺ himself, he says, مَا تَشَاوَرَ قَوْمٌ قَطُّ إِلَّا هُدُوا لِأَرْشَدِ أَمْرِهِمْ. Whenever people will consult with one another in making a decision, Allah will guide them towards that which is the best for them in that situation or those circumstances. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that I never saw anyone doing more consultation and mashra with one another when making decisions than the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَغَنِيَّانِ عَنْهَا. They don't need to consult with anyone. Allah doesn't need to consult with anyone, and the Prophet ﷺ likewise does not need to consult with anyone. وَلَكِنْ جَعْلَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى رَحْمَةً لِأُمَّتِي. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it a source of mercy for the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. فَمَنِ اسْتَشَارَ مِنْهُمْ لَمْ يَعْدِمْ رُشْدًا. Whoever will make it a regular practice to consult with others, he will always find good in whatever he does. And وَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا لَمْ يَعْدٍ غَيًّا. And whoever will not consult with people, will habitually not consult with people and make mashura and consult with other people, then that person will constantly find himself in a position of difficulty and in a difficult position. So therefore, it's very good to always consult with others and take the advice of others. And this builds a sense of community. This builds a sense of belonging. And then the last thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, the ayah right after this, Allah says, إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you, فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ, no one will ever be able to overcome you. And the connection, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions right after, whenever a leader will conduct himself with his people in this manner, he will be forgiving, he will be merciful, and he will continue to include them in his decision making, the help of Allah will always be with this group of people, and nobody will ever be able to overcome them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to, may Allah grant us the ability to conduct ourselves in such a manner, and may He grant us the ability to practice everything we've said and heard. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.